This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3517 for Tuesday the 25th of January 2022. Today's show is entitled, HP Stream Laptop with Lubuntu 20.04. It is hosted by JWP, and is about 38 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, laptop update.
Good day, everyone.
My name is JWP.
I got the word from Ken that he needed some shows, and I saw some news that was really interesting. Gecko Linux offered their version of Linux updated, and it's off of SUSE stable, and you know, OpenSUSE, they've always been really strict because of the legal consequences, some of the copyrights and things like this, and that they use patterns. Is interesting. And so I had this old laptop, and I hadn't used it in quite a while, and I think I've told you all about this before, but we'll go ahead and go through it again. I had so much on it that the first thing I did when I picked it up was went and got the WinZex and cleaned it up before I even opened up the shell. And the story of this laptop, it's pretty cool. I was with my stepbrother. I was on vacation and in Corpus Christi. And one of the things that we like to do is when I come down is go pawn shopping. And so I pawn shopped around, and this thing was originally 140 bucks, but they had had it forever and a day, and it had the blue screen of death on it. And I was like, that's only, and I think I talked them down to like 50 bucks because it had the blue screen of death. I was like, well, you know, make the blue screen of death go away. And the pawn shop guy had no idea how to make the blue screen of death go away. And it's a HP Stream, which is a really minimal laptop, but on the exterior, and haven't even opened it yet to see what's going on. It's got an HDMI output. It's got a USB 2.0 and a SD micro on one side with the power connector. And on the other side, it's got an earphone jack and another USB 2.0. So there's not three USB ports. And if they did and want, they were staggered, it would be pretty good. So it's still got the original sticker on it. It says incredible affordability, totally productive. And I guess it originally came with a Windows 365 subscription and 1 terabyte of storage. It's amazing that this thing is about 10 years old, I'm pretty sure. And it's you know, the Microsoft 365 model is still the same, 1 terabyte. But anyway, Windows 10 on this thing was just too, even back then, it was just too slow. So I pressed the on button, and another great thing about this is unlike my Pinebook, it's got a standard laptop keyboard, maybe a little cramped on the arrow keys, but other than that, everything's great. So it's coming up. It's got Lubuntu running on it, and so I'm having a hard time believing that I could actually do better than Lubuntu with this SUSE, but I wanted to give the SUSE a spin, but it's good just to check it out with with Lubuntu. It came up, it's there. Let's see, let's go to the terminal. Okay, accessories, system tools. Let's see, the Qt terminal. And so let's go 3-H, and okay, so it is a 2 gigabyte system. And let's go to df-h, and it's got the It looks to be. It's a 32 gigabyte. It's a 32 gigabyte system. So let's do the free command again. Free dash h. And so with everything going on right now, so it's Ubuntu uses 314. 314, and I have gotten it down to 118 with stock. I mean, when I say stock, I mean the real stock XFCE with Debian. But the thing is this actually works. So you don't have to do anything with the Wi-Fi and all that stuff. So if you do the stock Debian, it doesn't come with Wi-Fi built in, so you have to get the USB dongle and then install it that way. It's a real pain in the keister. Real pain in the keister. So moral of the story is that you can make it lighter, but you have to build it absolutely yourself from the ground up using Debian stable. So I'm really curious. So 314 is what I'm pulling, and with XFCE, I really don't think that it's going to be that much easier. And let's see if I can connect to the internet. And let's see. So he does not have 5G. He only has 240 gigahertz. And let's see if I can remember. 5, 4, 5. And let's see. So I don't really know for sure, if I'm actually gonna do the change, because Ubuntu is pretty stable, and it seems to be working quite well. And let me press the pause button real quick, because I'm having trouble connecting to the internet. And I sort of needed the internet. So back. So with the LXQT module, you can't edit from the taskbar the settings. So you have to go into what's called the advanced network settings. So it's in the menu. Bring it up, and then you edit the Wi-Fi. So all of my Wi-Fi changed, and it actually told me. So it had been since November 2020, since I had touched the laptop. And so let's go through the what's happening with the laptop now. So he wants to. I think probably the best thing to do now that it's done is a sudo apt update and see what happens. And it looks really simple. All of it seems so it's on focal. Let's see, it's 8791, so still pretty quick. That's not too bad. And it's taking him a while because he's on first generation. It's not an SSD, it's some kind of chip built directly in, direct built directly in there. That's the other thing. I think with it being a 32, all the Windows machines have 64 now, and so that's the reason that I couldn't do it. I can remember reinstalling Windows with it. So it says Ubuntu 20.04. I think that's still the the correct one. And let's see, it's reading the packages, so finally it's done. So let's see, we after 1 year of doing nothing, let's see how big the upgrade will be. And the upgrade is, oh, it's 607 megabytes of additional disk space will be used. Okay, so let's press the yes. And so he's gonna update from the Ubuntu Germany website, and he's going along. So let's let him do that. And I'll press the pause button again on the recorder. So I checked, and yes, 20.04 is still the latest Ubuntu. So it's still the latest LTS, and Ubuntu is a 36 month LTS on this, and so it should function, and it seems to be, it's actually a little zippier than I thought, but it's being zippy, but it's still only at 5% progress on the update. So the Gecko Linux folks, they still use the SourceForge, so I'm always not a huge fan of going to the SourceForge and going to the website and then clicking, looking at the advertisements and things like this. But then again, it's a free project. It's not, there is no enterprise support there. So that's how that works. And it's really interesting. So the static versions of it are based on 15, it's OpenSUSE 15.03, and the rolling is based on Tumbleweed. And I downloaded the Bungie version, and I had to do a comparison. So the Bungie version isn't for this laptop. I'll have to find something else to test the Bungie rolling release version on. So the Bungie, for those that don't know, is it's based on GNOME. So it does a little layout based on GNOME, and the memory footprint compared to XFCE is substantially more. And I'm really curious about LDME versus LXQT. And I found LMD from the LMD website says that it's still the lowest of them all. But if you really look at the chart comparison, the LXQT, what is it? Let me go into panel section here. Preferences about LXQT. So LXQT, it's still pretty lightweight. It's a little less than XFCE. So to me, they're all about the same. I mean, and when you're dealing with 2 gigabytes on an x86, you might do that. Like I said, the performance of this 10-year-old stream or 8-year-old stream, somewhere in that round there, it's much better than the original Pinebook. So I have the original Pinebook, and it's, you know, that I really like it because it had came with Trinity out of the box. So I opened it up, and Trinity, the KDE 3.1, was right there, and you know, I could go back sort of to the, you know, early 2000s with Trinity and have a look. But everything else about that laptop, it's just a dog. And particularly, you know, I could get around it if it had a good keyboard. If it had a good keyboard, I could do something with it. But the original one did not come with a keyboard. Again, I think it was $100. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a donation if we ever have an Og camp again because of Corona. I'll just probably donate that thing, and someone else can see if they can get more joy out of it than I have. And so that's why I've been really reluctant to to buy any more Pond stuff. I had bought the original Pond board, and it's still down in my basement, and I have a cool case for it. And he still runs and does stuff. Currently, he's disconnected. I disconnected my server farm, everything except for the open media server. And I need to redo that whole thing. And because I bought some Raspberry 4s, and so I wanted to give that a try. And of course, that'll be a show when I do the open cloud or own cloud with the PI4. And that's another source of much heartbreak. You really have to know what you're doing. That is no way plug and play like the open media server. That thing crashes and it won't boot and does all kinds of stuff. And I compare it on exactly the same hardware. So they're both on 3Bs. And so I've had the open media server running for, I don't know, 5 years on the Raspberry 3B, and never had a trouble. 4 terabyte drive, straight up, no issues ever. Automatic updates every morning at 2 o'clock. Once a week it reboots, and never ever has a issue. That's all scheduled, and I never have to touch it. That own cloud or next cloud, whatever it is that runs on the PI, you know, it requires so much human intervention that it can't be good. And that's there's a lot of projects there, so you can run your office. You can have like an online Google Office thing there. There's much learning to be done there. But as far as an alternative to Google Drive and syncing my phone and all this other stuff, it's just not available enough to really make a difference. So let's have a look back at the command function, command line. And okay, so it's at 55%, and it looks like the big things are the Linux kernel. So it looks like it's converting from 5.4.0.54 to the same thing with 6.2. So interesting. It's still sort of slow. So I'm gonna press the pause button again here on my tablet where I'm recording, and so it's still updating, but it's interesting. It's doing all of the old kernel. So it started at 62, it then did 54, now at 47, and now at 42. Got no idea about how to make that any quicker. But back to the Pond 64 thing. So I don't know how many of y'all still read DistroWatch, but I still do. I have the RSS feed. I know that sort of dates me with the RSS feed. But I have the RSS from DistroWatch, and I noticed that Jesse came up with a thing for his Pond 64 phone. And so I read it, and guess what? I mean, Jesse's an American, so he deals with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, and that's pretty much your choice unless you go with a third party that uses one of those things. I think sometimes when I'm in the States, I use Ting.com. Some of y'all might know that Chris Fisher, does an advertisement there. So I used it once and with Ting, and they send you the GSM, the SIM card. But it's interesting that he cannot get it to make phone calls or send SMSs or connect to. So he just uses it to connect to the internet. So it could be that it's not really a phone. So it's more like a phone tablet kind of thing. So the interesting might be that that little keyboard with the, so I have a keyboard case now, and if you get the standard one, which is sort of a sucky phone by today's standards, and you get the keyboard case with it, you have something about the same size as a Scion. So if you go back to the late 90s, Scion, a UK company, had these wonderful little PDAs. And so if you wanted to re-experience the PDA experience, you could probably make a pretty good PDA out of that phone, but out of what they call a Pine phone, but it wasn't working well enough for Jesse to make phone calls with it or send SMSs with it in his review. And so that really worries me because I've had a less than great experience with the Pond 64 notebook, and Jesse can't get at this late stage of Pond phone it to work with AT&T or Verizon or whatever he's using in the States to make a phone call. And so that and that's the States isn't easy because this just last September I went back to the States and I had my Huawei and I got the Huawei phone and I deleted everything, reset everything, and made it into like the ultimate vacation phone. I walked into AT&T, they were like, "We're sorry, the CME code does not match anything that's supported on America." And I was like, "Oh no." That's exactly what I was like. I was like, "Oh no." And so, long story short, I just ended up going to Target, and I highly recommend this to anyone who's doing this. So rather than face, so unless you have an iPhone with you or a well-known Samsung with an international build on it, right? You're not going to walk into the AT&T store and walk out with a SIM card. It's just not going to work. And by far in Texas, I think AT&T is by far the better one. I've used T Systems or T Online or whatever they call it, T-Mobile in the States, and it's okay. It's okay, and they have a vacation, a 3 week or 21 day vacation one for $20, and that's fantastic. You walk into their store, it was no problem. That put it in, and they were like, "Wait a minute!" And so they didn't do any CME check at the T Online place. And granted, so that the other thing in the States right now is they're moving to 5G, so they're much more restrictive than it was a 3G kind of thing. Than it was a 3G type environment. But it was so two devices from the Pine phone. So I'm interested in the e-reader. I have a massive EPUB thing that I've downloaded from, oh, you name it, I've downloaded those EPUBs from. I bought EPUB CDs back in the day and put them all on this multimedia server. So I have literally thousands of these book formats, right? If anybody wants me to share all of it's public domain. Public domain, or even some of it is—I hate to use the word Pirate Bay—but I think some of it might be even that. I can share, and then of course I'm a big Gutenberg fan, so I have RSS feed for Gutenberg, and every time something cool comes from Gutenberg, I'll come and I'll download it. So I'm interested in that ebook reader that they've got. But I'm really, really hesitant. They say that the Pine Book Pro is much better, but if I'm gonna get more use, I mean they're selling, for $300 you can get a Chromebook now that's supported for 9 years. For 9 years, and that's pretty. So if you compare the cost of the Pinebook Pro versus something like the Lenovo Duet. And the Duet, if you find it, that might come with a pin. So it's sort of an interesting, that's an interesting argument. What is going to be better in the long run, the Duet or the PinePhone Pro? I like that here. So anyone that has Pine stories, I would really love to hear, because it. I was really thinking about a new Pine purchase, either the reader or the tablet or the Pro, but not all three. And of course, the phone was interesting because of the PDA, but it's hard for me to believe that the phone at this late stage of the game is not making calls in the United States. And I mean, Jessie is no Linux slouch. She does a DistroWatch podcast every week. Him or one other guy, and they write the blog there. So it's obvious that he does a great deal of, he has a great deal of practical Linux knowledge, just from that. So if it's not working for him, it probably wouldn't work for me either. So it would be really interesting to have the community talk about the Pinebook. If it's not, so let's check and see. So I'm at 93%. I'm gonna press the pause button. My wife has exploded a chocolate cake in the microwave, and I have to check on this. Okay, back from investigating the chocolate cake explosion. It's interesting. She made the chocolate cake from melting Christmas chocolate Santa Clauses. So that was pretty interesting. So we're at 99%. Lord knows how long 99% will go. It's updating, and it's still pretty fast when I click on the menu and things like this. So let me try to open another tab and see if I can get another tab. Let's see the ping. So ping www.amazon.de. Those dudes are always up. So yeah, I got 8.4 milliseconds. It's not bad. Not bad at all. And back, and it's still at 99%. And let's go through the menu again. So accessories. This thing uses Pac-Man, and it's got a QT something game. So it's got one game. It's got Linux, LX Image, and LibreOffice, and a screen grab for the internet. It's got Blue Devil Syn file, Blue Devil Wizard. I think that's something to do with Bluetooth. So it's got Firefox and Midori on it, and I'm pretty sure I put the Midori on it. Something called TROJITA for the thing. It's got an IRC client and a BitTorrent on it, so it's pretty simple. And so he's still doing something with the kernel, so he's installing. He's still at 99%. In the office, it looks like it's LibreOffice, and it uses something QPDFU. That's something that I haven't used. And sound and video, something called KB3. So I'm pretty sure that's an MP3 player, and I'm pretty sure I installed VLC myself. And for system tools, again, it's got the two blue things and. Oh, I don't it. So it's an HTOP. It's got the KDE Partition Manager. So somehow KDE Partition Manager showed up in the system preferences. So there's a LXQT settings, additional drivers, advanced network configuration. And that's where you go if you have the network, slight network problem, alternative configurator, apply the full upgrade button.
Premiere Screensaver software sources, and then about LXQT. So let's click about LXQT, see what comes up. LXQT, what does it say about it? Advanced, easy to use, fast desktop environment based on Qt technology. So, LXQT would not have been possible without the Razer Qt project and its many contributors. Copyright to 2010 to 2022 LXQT team and homepage LXQT.org. Okay, so that's Arthur's and nothing good there. Thanks to so they've got four and they so yeah so they do have some KDE stuff in it because they have a thank you to the KDE organization. Technical info. So I'm on version 0.1414, and Lubuntu, with Lubuntu, and it's still at 99%. So I guess I gotta pause it again. Golly, this is the longest update of my entire career. Okay, it finally stopped. But it did completely update, and so now sudo shutdown now minus R, and of course it wants the password because update was so long that it did that, and now we get to see if it'll really update. And it blank screen. Here it comes, and okay, and it looks, and okay, all right, so now I saw the HP logo, and there's the Lubuntu 1 button, 2 button, 3 button, 4 button, 5 button. Oh, it starts again. Okay, and mouse cursor, and we're in, so JWP, let's put in the password, and did he remember to... So it's good. Let's do the same test that we did before. Go down to System Tools, and let's just do the HTOP now. Okay, so he's at, with HTOP going, he's at 352. So 352 with update, he was at 318 before. So with the update and HTOP running, so let's cancel HTOP, control C, and hopefully I'll get the prompt. Okay, I was hoping I got a prompt instead, it just closed it down. So let's go to the Qt terminal again, and let's type 3.8/h, and he's using, so the difference between the HTOP and the free is the free does 323 while the HTOP does 354. So it's about the same. So you still need about 300 megabytes to run everything. And again, I have no Google Drive, no Dropbox, no anything going on that. So it's just stock. So let's click the Firefox button. Firefox button is clicked. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. So it took 9 seconds to open it. It says you haven't used it in a long time, so we're going to refresh it and refresh Firefox. And so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Import complete. Finish. Okay, now he's opening. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, that's not too bad. That success. restore tabs in Windows. Okay, so let's see. Let's see if it'll let me. Let's just do the YouTube test real quick. Okay, let's just. So I have to agree. I hate agreeing. So let's see. Click on the first thing, the Whiskey Blues. Okay, so I've got the video, YouTube video playing. Speakers on this thing. Okay, so let's do the free command. Let's do htop again. And so with the browser tab open and one browser tab open playing a YouTube video, one browser tab open, I got 46% so both CPUs are heavily taxed. So CPU1 and CPU2 on the stream. So even up to 80%. And the memory is at 1.5 gigabytes. So then the only two things running are this, the base system, which was 300 megabytes before, 330 megabytes before. And so, yeah. I don't know if it's still, if I can still use this laptop in a modern sense or not. I don't think you could have more than one tab. I mean, it's not a two-user system, so it's not something my wife could log in and then I could log in and it could hibernate. That's for sure not going to happen. My Nook with Ubuntu 20.04, this is the standard Ubuntu, it has trouble with that, with 8 gigabytes of RAM. So, but it is what it is. So, is it serviceable with Ubuntu? Yes. Am I going to install the SUSE now? Probably not, because there's no trouble here. So I probably won't install the Gecko, or I have to find another machine to install the Gecko on. All right, guys, well, it's been 37 minutes, and I sort of rambled a bit, which is not normal for me. Y'all take care. Have a good day. Be safe. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR is kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.